The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us someone who's no stranger to Backstory, Catherine Van Bramer. Catherine currently serves as the Director of Administrative Services and Public Information Officer in the Office of the Mayor for the City of Pittsfield. She and I worked closely together in the Office of the Mayor during Mayor Tyer's administration. So I consider Catherine not just a colleague, but a good friend. And also another area of trivia, Catherine has not only been a previous guest on this show, but in the early years of Backstory, Catherine actually helped to work the boards. She was awesome at making sure that the time was kept, that everything just ran smoothly. And so, Catherine, I'm so excited to catch up with you and talk all things Pittsfield.
I'm happy to be here, Roberta. It's great to see you. And yeah, the feeling is definitely very mutual. So thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. So Catherine, you know, I'd like to start out with one of the things that I loved best about us working together was the fact that we were able to have really great and honest conversations. And sometimes the topic, it was a little bit uncomfortable, but we were able to really have these conversations. And I liken it to, we worked together for almost 8 years. We were in a space where it was just you and I, sometimes in the outside area of the office. So, you know, we basically developed this relationship where we were, we allowed ourselves to become vulnerable and have these good conversations. And, you know, when I think about the times that we are in, I often go back to the conversations that we had, because one of the things that connected us, was that allowed the conversations to flourish, was respect. And I think that we sometimes lose sight of that in today's times. Like, everyone wants to talk to be heard, but we're not listening to one another. Mm-hmm. What do you recall from those conversations?
Oh, I mean, we lived through some, you know, important moments in our, you know, not only in our community itself, but in the country. I mean, COVID, whoever thought that that was going to take so much of our time and energy, of not knowing from one day to the next what that was going to bring. I think when you work in a small office with just three people, it's important to have, mm-hmm. You know, to foster those relationships, because you have to rely on one another. Yeah. I've always said that only the three of you who work in that space truly know the day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to rely on one another. You have to, you know, you have to be there in the good times. You have to be there in the bad times. And, you know, some days are easier than others. Some days you go in with a plan of, this is what I'm going to, you know, take care of today. And these are the things on my list that I have to accomplish. And some days you don't get to that list based upon what is happening. You have to be changing and evolving. But what I always appreciated about our conversations is we respected one another's experiences in life. We're close in age, but there's some.
Catherine, there are a few differences. Lest we bring up the trapper keeper. Okay.
Maybe just about 9 years in between us, but there were similarities that we really formed that connection and friendship with that went more beyond just being coworkers with one another. We touched upon everyday issues. We weren't afraid to ask questions of one another. And it was okay if we disagreed or didn't quite understand but the foundation of our values and things that we believed in were there and
Right.
continued to be so, but we relied on one another. And I think you make a great point of listening and not us not assuming of what one another is thinking. I think we just, said, hey, this is going on, or what's going on over here? Or like we had that, did we start from day one with that? No, we got to know one another. And but we've just I've always valued the friendship and connection and the deep conversations that we would have, both in and outside of work.
Yeah, it's you brought up COVID and you brought up that time and so many those moments so unprecedented. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're an office of three, absolutely. I said the two because we're in the outside area, but of course the
Yes.
mayor was there. And so, we were when you're in a small office, you have to be able to let your guard down. You have to be able to connect. It's not like you're in a big environment. There's multi floors, and you can just see someone in passing. So there's that level of vulnerability, and so it served as the foundation for the bigger things, the bigger conversations that would be had outside of the office. So I gotta ask you, because again, having done the 8 years, I kind of know, like you said, there's an instinctively certain things, but again, we're in 2025 and we're it's quite the year. So I want to ask you, how are you doing? We've always said that sometimes when you're in government, it can be all encompassing, and people think of government as sort of this nameless, faceless mass. But here you are in government, you love what you do. And we are in times where there's so many things happening, in a landscape of change, especially that we can see on the federal level, everything. And so you have to reconcile that on a local level. When you think about all that is happening, how are you doing, and what steps are you taking to make sure that you are able to navigate the times ahead and be there for the people of Pittsfield?
I take my role with it comes with great responsibility. My job, as you know and are very familiar with, is communications and making sure our residents are informed of what is happening in the city. And so it's our job, especially when there's major changes happening, whether that's a change that we are bringing forward or a change that's happening, in a larger scale, for residents to have a place to come to ask questions, to find out what's going on. 2025, it's with a change of administration at the national level, that always comes with some angst of what that impact is going to be locally. We have been through a previous administration such as this, and there were some challenging times throughout that. I think with the recent orders, we're paying attention as a city and finding and figuring out, for example, the recent freeze or unfreeze or freeze, wherever we may be with that. We receive federal dollars as a municipality, and we have to pay attention to those things, whether it be a one-time grant that we're receiving or annual funding that we receive and nonprofits count on and others for vital programs that go to not only our residents, but residents across this country. So we have to pay attention to what is going on at the national and state level. We have to pay attention to the governor and what she's proposing for her budget, because then that impacts what we have here locally for roads and schools, and funding for what we need. So we are always, relying on our state and federal partners and trying to make sure that Pittsfield is getting their piece of the pie, because we need to make sure they don't forget about us. And I have to
Right.
say, we have really great partnerships with our state and
State.
federal delegations, and we know they're advocating for us. So I think we have to continue with that, with not knowing what's ahead or what future orders may or may not impact us, or what decisions may or may not impact us. We have to continue, representing the city and making sure that we are advocating for our community's needs.
So I have a twofold question, Catherine. One would be, in your role, you have to stay close to everything, and maybe it's not a twofold question, but maybe a part question, part statement. You said something that's really important, and you said continue to pay attention. And something that I've heard, I think in with so much going around, people want to quiet everything. They want to silence everything. And how important is it for people to give space to some venue, some channel, something that allows them to stay informed and not completely check out?
Sometimes it's difficult because you see the direction of where something is headed, and it may not be a direction that you agree in. And so you're like, well, they may not care about what I think, but to me, if we don't continue to have a seat at the table and make our voices known, we're just giving them more ability to make decisions without our voice being heard and represented. So, yes, it can be challenging to try to continue advocating and pushing for the resources and things that we need, but we have to be present. We can't just give up. We have to continue making sure that everyone is having their needs met. And so we have to be a part of that conversation. And if we were to just remove ourselves from what is happening, I don't think that does the community a good service. We still have to, yes, it's hard sometimes battling misinformation, and it can be challenging on social media when people don't always have the full picture or want to use negativity just all the time. That is a lot to receive. But I think you still have to figure out a way to work through that. And sometimes we see and we hear and we read things that, makes us think, okay, well, maybe we need to change it up, or maybe we need to go a little bit in a different direction. But you kind of have to find that balance of, the constructive feedback versus those that are just negative for the sake of it. It's finding that balance.
You mentioned balance, Catherine, and when again, and that professional level, absolutely keeping your ears wide open, and you have to, like you said, you have to have a seat at the table. In your role, you are out there in the public domain, and you, to your point, you're hearing the good and the negative. It can sometimes, there can be a lot coming your way. How do you, and so we have there's that local landscape, and then there's all the other stuff going on. So there's a lot of communications and a lot of conversations happening right now. How do you create a place where you're able to t focus on what you need to focus on and tune out all the other stuff?
It's a practice skill. It's not something that I perfect all the time. I think you have to, especially in the world of social media, it's very easy for people to say things without any basis of fact or reason or good intention. So you really have to, my job is to get information out and answer the questions to the best of my ability. We did a lot of this during our transition to the Toters system. So it was
Which seems to
just
be going so well.
there have been some bumps along the way, but that's to be expected with it. But overwhelmingly, most people seem to be adapting to it. Is change ever easy? No.
No.
And are there still things we're fine-tuning as we go? Absolutely. But I mean, it's a huge undertaking to do that. But when you're a communications person of one, I think it's always that reminder of, you can only be responsive so much. And it was recognized, and I appreciated that. But when you are answering the same question over and over again, it can try you a little bit, but it's a matter of making sure when those questions are coming in, and if you are getting the same question over and over again, we need to then make sure that question is highlighted in all of our material. So we learn things from our engagement in the community, whether that be, in a community meeting or on social media. Sometimes people think we're not paying attention, but we are. But two, what I can do is be a resource of information, and I can make sure that it's out there, and people can use it as they wish. If they take it, and if they have, the ability to understand what we're doing, and they take that as helpful, then that's great. If they don't want to, engage in that way, that's fine too. But
But that's
we're
the beauty, Catherine. I think of you put it out, and your job is to get it out, right? So you're not in, how someone receives something. If you know that you've done your best to provide a fair and balanced, buffet of information, you've done your job. And that's important. And so it's almost like you making sure all bases are covered. But I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, you're doing a tremendous, tremendous job.
Thank you. That
And
means a lot.
so I just I this is just a point of just personal pride. I'm just so proud of Catherine. And so again, in 8 years, it's just really great to see just the evolution of so many different things. And so I have to ask you, Catherine, in your role, what do you love the best?
What do I love the best? I think for me, it is community engagement. It's my Citizens Academy program. It's bringing people into government to learn about it, to understand how it works and functions, how they navigate it. Government can sometimes be intimidating. Sometimes it can be confusing, but why not break down some of that? And the Citizens Academy is really the thing that I'm most passionate about, because I see the impact that it has. People have joined boards and commissions. They've run for elected office. They tell their friends and family and their neighbors about this program, and they just spread the knowledge that they've learned along the way. And it's a way for us as government officials to take some of the questions that we receive all the time and give a platform for people to come in and learn more about, the fire department and how they operate, or how elections work, or how you get a permit to build the deck. Like, there are all these departments that have to work together to make the city what it is. And that's really where my passion work
Well,
is.
first of all, Catherine, I will call Catherine. that's just a little inside joke because that's just a nickname I have for her. But I promised her that I would be uber professional during our conversation today. But I definitely was going to get into Citizens Academy later. But since we're here now, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about all things Citizens Academy because you have always professed to be a government geek. Like you love this. I mean, I didn't come into my my entryway into public service wasn't that government side. Like, you have a real, genuine, authentic love for this work, and also for helping people. And how many years has Citizens Academy been in operation now?
We just completed our 6 year in November,
That's
and we had
amazing.
115 participants over those 6 years.
Wow.
So and it's for people who live or work in the city and want to learn a little bit more about government. There's no prerequisites other than being 18 years and older. You can have lived here for 6 weeks. You have could have been here all your life. We have had a great mix of both new and new residents to the area and people who have lived here for a long time. My youngest participant has been 18, and my oldest was in her 80s. So it really runs. There's just the consistency of a variety of people, and that's exactly what I was looking for to. Happy. I mean, the first year of doing that program, I was like, who's going to join this program for multiple weeks learning about government? What am I thinking? And when people like signed up and showed up each and every week and they came back, I was like, oh, maybe we're onto something here. And so to see it evolve to a 12-week program now, free for participants to join. And really, I can't do it without the help of all of the department heads. They have been really great. They understand how it all works now, so they have their, presentations and activities all ready and set to go each and every year. Whether it be a tour of the airport, which is always a hit because you get to drive a be on the runway in a school bus, and so you don't always get to do that every day. And so when I get to see the participants' expressions, and they're like, oh, I've never been here, or I didn't know we had this. Like, that is exactly why this program works. And if people want to sign up for it, they're welcome to reach out to me. We do this program every late summer, early fall. It's a 12-week program, and it includes every city department. So you get a little taste of each area that we work in.
So, Catherine, I know that you mentioned that the evolution from how it first started, not only in your perception of the program, but even in how it was received. When you every after each, after each year, there's a ceremony, there's an intake process where you get to hear feedback from folks who went through it. What has been a common thread line, or what have been some common themes that have come from participants in Citizens Academy?
I think the fact that we have been so willing over the years to bring people into government, I think that right there is a different approach because we are saying, come, learn, join us. We want to teach you some of our day-to-day work, and we want you to have the information. Like, I know in my former role as executive assistant, it was the front lines of answering a lot of questions from residents and community members. And I was like, I was always in the place of learning new things. And every time a question came in, I was like, if I don't know the answer, I can find someone who does. And then I had that answer. So I knew it going forward if the question came back again. And so knowing what I was learning in that role, I was like, why can't I pass this along to others? And I think that's been a part of the biggest feedback is just the amount of information they get over the 12 weeks. But then, too, what I love to see each and every year is when they come up to me and they say, oh, my neighbor took this program and they talked about it every week. We would always get the recaps and what they focused on that week, or friends and family of theirs. So really that w genuine word of mouth has, I think, helped the participation continue year after year. But Just the fact that this program exists and people have the opportunity to participate in it and maybe learn something they didn't know.
Catherine, is there a way for folks who are alum of Citizens Academy? Do you guys have a way, like a networking session or a way to all come back together?
We haven't had any formal like networking sessions, but what I do is there are different opportunities that come up, throughout the years of whether that be encouraging them to help spread the word about future programs, or if there's opportunities that arise in our board and commissions. We always utilize the Citizens Academy group as a way because in our minds, they've already expressed some interest in participating in their government. And so we say, let us know what you're interested in. If you have an interest in health, maybe you're considered for the Board of Health or really passionate about human services. We have boards that are tailored to a person's interests and needs. Maybe you love the arts. We have many options for that. So we really utilize the list to get them more engaged as the years go on. But we haven't, it would be a great idea to get some of the groups together.
I mean, I
So
think that would be like great to have like a Citizens Academy reunion, or and even create some kind of networking model where everyone, it's a point of pride, I think, and everything that you mentioned, a lot of those folks, if you were able to like go through and see who came through Citizens Academy and then look what they're doing now in terms of like, was that a launching pad for them to get more involved or, in matters of the community. And you made a good point about the boards and the commissions and the different things. After Citizens Academy, what next? So like someone could say, I really enjoy this, and like you said, the boards and commission. What is sort of like a slate of things that people can do to sort of stay connected to their interest in government?
We throughout the program share different ways in which they can engage and be a part of things. So whether that be something more temporary, like maybe they serve as an election worker. I've had some recruitments from that, and they, either work as a check-in, check-out person, like an inspector, or they work their way up to become a warden at the polling place. Those are very important, jobs to have and to run free and fair elections. We also have people who have joined boards commissions. We've had someone who has become a city councilor, someone who's become a school committee member. And then some people, like I'll see them, after they participate, and they'll come up to me in the community and they'll say, someone was asking me this question, and I knew exactly who I needed to send them to or how they could report this thing in. And so it just creates a great network. Like I hear from many of them after they graduate, and they know I've always made myself as a resource for them. So if they, whether it be in their work or in their lives, like if they are trying to navigate something, they know they have a direct connection to be able to help guide them through.
You guys need t-shirts that say I was in Citizens Academy. You think I'm playing? You guys need some merch. Where's their mug, Catherine?
We try to do this program at
I know.
zero cost,
I
so
know. I know. Look at me adding up all the costs, right? Didn't I just say it was free? I know you must be like, you're not getting it. Catherine, we're going to take a quick 30-second break and we'll be right back.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Precision Brows, specializing in creating flawless microblading that enhances beauty and saves time every day. Find them online at myprecisionpmu.com or call 413-553-1059.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
The Berkshire Queer History Project by Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition is an ongoing initiative to document the lived experiences of our community and ensure the preservation of our voices in our voices. Our goal is to collect these stories to form an archive that may be used for future exhibitions, research, or simply as a way to remember our past struggles and triumphs and look towards the future together. For more information, please get in touch with us at berkshirestonewall.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same day.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
Hi, everyone. So my guest today is Catherine Van Bramer, and Catherine currently serves as the Director of Administrative Services and Public Information Officer in the Mayor's Office for the City of Pittsfield. And we were just having a great conversation about Catherine's program, Citizens Academy. She first started this about 6 years ago now, right, Catherine? And it has just blossomed into sort of this this portal, our pipeline, that's probably a better word, a pipeline of interest and people, local residents who want to know more about their government. I'm also thinking, Catherine, about civics, just like plain old civics. Talk to me about civics. Talk to me about how important civics are in these times.
Civics are super important. As someone who's been in government for almost 15 years, a lot of the role that I play in my day-to-day is helping people navigate government. And I think one of the things we start out with at the Citizens Academy is an intro to local government. I want everybody, regardless of their experience with civics and understanding of, to understand who we are as a government in Pittsfield. What's our government structure? We have a mayor and a city council and a school committee. What is our population? How many registered voters do we have? What is the structure of our government that we have 11 city councilors and 7 of them are ward councilors and 4 of them are at large? So trying to give them a basic level and understanding. I think over the recent years, civics has been reintroduced at the middle and high school levels. I know we have partnered with the schools on different projects that they have done, whether that be a posters on particular topics. We've had them shown at City Hall. We welcome different community groups, students who shadow us. throughout the year, for whether that be, you know, job shadow day or other internship experiences that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very willing and open to bring people in, do tours of City Hall, have them meet our staff and our team members. And again, it just goes back into the philosophy of bringing people into government. So anything we can do to, I mean, even reading is a part of like Read Across America Day.
Yeah.
Like I'll try to weave in some civics component of it, of granted, you know, tailored for children, but I still try to make sure that they know, like, it's never too young to learn.
It reminds me of some of the, you know, and I can say it, I know you probably can't, any, you know, I know I can probably freely say it, but I just remember sometimes that there was always a thought of that the power structure was one person. I always say one person behind the curtain making all the decisions. And like you mentioned, there's a whole structure, there's a whole power structure in play. And oftentimes, sometimes there was a thought that it was just that all the powers hung on one entity. And that's not the case. But civics plays a role in helping to shape that understanding, right? And I think when you understand how government works, then you understand how things happen.
I think you bring up a great point. Like, people will sometimes know that there is a position such as mayor or a representative or senator who they know that they can help them. It's just sometimes unclear of what they can help them with. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times we will have people coming into the office to say, you know, they're struggling with an issue they're having with the Registry of Motor Vehicles. And we have to explain, we don't oversee the Registry of Motor Vehicles. That's a state entity. And so we can connect you with the Registry of Motor Vehicles and be that network for you. But we don't call up the registry
and tell them what to do.
Registry, do this thing for this person.
Right.
We can certainly help you get connected to them. Similar to the post office. Sometimes we'll get questions about, my mail wasn't delivered, or I have an issue with my you know, mailbox. And we explain that as a federal agency, and we don't control what the mail routes are or what time your mail gets delivered. And so a lot of it is that education in breaking down some of those misinformation, and it's not always like intentional misinformation.
Yeah, it's
just trying to, you know, we are resources to be able to help people understand, mm-hmm. like, we may not be the ones who can directly help or directly oversee that specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can listen and we can try to guide you towards the right resource. But sometimes people get a little bit confused of who handles what.
Right. It reminds me of under Mayor Tyre, we had guiding principles. And one of her guiding principles was always, how can we? And I think we always led from that perspective, right, of how can we? And if we can't help you here, we'll figure it out and find a way to help you. It makes, you know, that brings me to 2025 and the state of the city. And I did tune in for some of it. But obviously you play a key role in helping to bring all of that to bear and making it a really impactful event in support of Mayor Marchetti. Tell me, Catherine, a little bit about some of the highlights of 2024 that stood out to you or that the mayor shared in his remarks, and what people can look forward to in 2025.
Sure. So the State of the City is a tradition we carry down from former Mayor Tyre. Mayor Marchetti is very focused on communication and transparency. So we wanted to continue on in that tradition here locally. Many places you'll hear like a State of the State and a State of the Union. So it definitely is something that people have grown accustomed to. It gives the mayor a chance to highlight and recap the prior year while also outlining the initiatives ahead. We have been active at work with a lot of our American Rescue Plan Act funding. That process is well underway, and we've obligated all of those funds.
Wow.
We have a lot of great housing projects in the works. As we all know, there are housing challenges. People are looking for all different types of housing, and it takes a long time to get a project from the idea to the funding of it to the actual reality of right. construction and opening of making it happen. So the mayor was a part of several announcements, and again, working with community partners such as Hearthway and Zion Lutheran Church, and many others who are taking on these initiatives to provide a variety of housing resources, again, to meet the needs of the community. Yeah. And do all of these projects solve the problem overnight? No, but it's a step in the right direction. So those projects, several of them should be coming online later this year. So a lot of work and effort has been placed on housing and will continue to be done. 2024, we touched upon it briefly, but that was a big year for a major change to our trash and recycling system. That was a very large undertaking. And trash and recycling has always been a hot button issue for the community.
Yeah.
And it comes at a large cost as well. And so the mayor has heard time and time again of continued rise in costs and has tried to figure out ways in which we can lessen that impact. And making these changes to trash and recycling is one of the ways to do that. Did that come along with some aches and pains? Yes. And we knew that going in. And like I said earlier, we're still working it out. But we have, you know, are making sure that the vendor is following through on their end. And we always say, if anyone is having any, you know, questions or concerns about the new system, to give our office a call so that way we can help them navigate through. So really the first year was a matter of, there was a lot of, as you know, listening and meeting with people in the first several months and throughout the year. There's a lot of community events to be a part of. We have been actively meeting with downtown stakeholders, members of the senior community. So really the focus on communication, transparency, and creating One Pittsfield that were some of his major themes in his address.
It's I think everything, and I had to chuckle when you started talking about the toters. I had flashbacks. And I flashbacks of the paper towel. But I think with everything, yeah, that's another inside joke, folks. But I think that you're right. Change comes, but there's always an adjustment period. And it seems to me that people overall are settling in. Like you said, is it perfect? No, and nothing's ever going to be perfect. But they're settling in and they're adopting, a new way of doing things. You know, we haven't seen the apocalypse of trash, right? People, they're finding ways to adjust. And I think that's a good thing. And and if we can save some money in the process and also do some good for environment, I think those are some good benefits. You know, you brought up the point about housing. And so one of the key projects, I think, is like White Terrace. Now, what's the status with that? Is that going to, like, where are we with that?
I think they're getting ready to open in the springtime. I know over the winter, they opened up applications, and I know they received a high number of them. So I think they're going through that process of reviewing the applications and determining who are going to be selected for those apartments. But yes, I believe they're moving forward to opening in the springtime
That's
for
pretty
White Terrace.
awesome because White Terrace has been, it's such a fixture on North Street, and has been for years. Actually read a story, and they talked about like years ago, like who actually lived in that place. It was fascinating, and I think each structure holds a story and tells a story. And so it's good to know that they will have a new chapter to their story come this spring, and that people who so desperately need to have this housing will have access to it. Speaking of housing, I think this is a perfect segue because, Catherine, you are a new homeowner. So, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And, as a new homeowner, this has been a journey for you. Tell me a little bit about your journey to this point. I mean, navigating the supply. So, not taking off your professional hat, your personal hat as a citizen of Pittsfield and navigating those spaces. What was it like for you? How did you eventually come upon your dream home?
It was definitely hard work. I had a great team to help, but it took patience and persistence because the market that we were in, it was very limited inventory, and prices continued to rise and rise. And housing has become more expensive, and we see that not only in Pittsfield but in so many places. And so I'm super grateful and super excited to start 2025 in this new adventure, in this new chapter. So it was an exciting experience, but it definitely it took a little bit to get us here, but it is an exciting next step.
So I gotta ask for some pro tips here. So now I'm asking you to kind of put on kind of your city hat as well as your personal hat. You kind of knew some things to look for when you were looking for a new home. Can you share some of those pro tips so that you can maybe help, soon to be first-time home buyers or those who are even thinking about their journey? What are some things to look for and make sure they're on your list?
So I think through my what I've learned in my role of work, there's a lot of information available to the public. Our building inspector's office, for example, has a great tool on their website. It's called Public View, and you can put in an address and you can see all of the different permits that have been issued for a particular property. And it dates back quite some time. I don't know the if it's the 1980s. I can't remember exactly, but there's great information in there. And so if you're looking to figure out, if someone had a roof done on their house, or when that deck was built, or did they recently do some plumbing work that you want to verify, the building inspector's office is a really great resource to find that information. And a lot of people don't know that those are like publicly available. So this information's right on our city's website under the building department page. And it's a great tool to
And it's
use,
free.
and it's free, and people can go and access this information. We also have another tool, the property viewer. It's called our GIS system. There are a lot of great resources to know if you are on an accepted, unaccepted street.
What does that
If
mean for the people, Catherine, in layman's terms?
so there's different classifications of streets. If you're on a paper or private way, that is not something the city is responsible for. If you're on an unaccepted street, so accepted streets meet all the standard classifications for road. An unaccepted street was developed but never brought up to the standard that it needed to be by whoever built that street at the time that it was implemented. So we still have responsibility to plow and maintain those roads, but the difference between accepted and unaccepted, for accepted streets, we can use state money to do road work on those streets. for the unaccepted streets, we have to use city resources to do work, to redo those roads. So that's the difference between that. I also learned the importance of doing sewer scopes. That is something as a new homeowner should do to make sure there's sewer lines and connections.
How do they do that?
Oh, it is a process. You definitely need a plumbing professional to come in and help you out with that. But the things you see as a homeowner, you can see right inside your sewer and understand if there's any roots growing in there, or you know, you can learn a lot. And I was able to have that experience in my day-to-day work, but then too now on the homeowner side, understanding, like, you learn the different things that you never thought you'd ever, you know, have to learn about. So it has been helpful having that perspective and bringing it into this new role.
I had to ask you about that because I feel like the knowledge that you have totally helped to inform your investigation process of the home that you wanted. And these are things that people don't think about. They only say, oh, it's a beautiful home. Oh, I love how it looks. Or I love the character. I love the bones. I love how it makes me feel. Well, that's fine. But, you know,
it's making sure it functions.
Exactly. So making sure it's not just like, you know, it's beautiful on the outside and it's crumbling in the inside, or it has roots growing in the sewer.
Right. So there are those things that, and I think the homeownership, you learn, you have different experiences all along the way, and you're like, I didn't know how to do that, but now I know how to do that. And,
exactly.
And so it's been a great experience so far.
Well, Catherine, you know, when you're not, you know, managing the city of Pittsfield and making sure all things are kept on point, and you're not doing all, I mean, you're also involved in, you know, different organizations in the city. I mean, are you still with the Democratic?
Yep. So I'm the chair of the Ward 6 Democratic Committee.
Look at that. Exactly. So you're a part of that. And then let's see what else. And then did you participate? Are you still doing the elections? Were you a warden? Were you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yep, I still participate in the elections because, again, you know, the election is one of the best ways a citizen can get involved in government and make their voice known and heard. No matter how much people think that, oh, it doesn't matter if I show up, it matters if you show up. It can make a huge difference. And so I will never discourage anybody from showing up on election day and partaking in that process.
And when you're not busy wearing all these hats and doing all these different things, what do you like to do for fun, Catherine?
What do I love to do for fun? Well, I'm a big Red Sox fan.
Oh, so yes, you are. That's right.
So we'll be kicking off that new season, hopefully better this time.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I are big Disney fans. So we might have some trips planned soon.
Okay.
To visit one of our favorite places.
Okay.
So I enjoy traveling. I enjoy going to the movies. I recently saw Wicked, and that was just an amazing movie.
Was it? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you must. So great.
Is it real? Okay.
On repeat. So.
That reminds me of a soundtrack that used to be on repeat when I was in the office. It was Hamilton.
Hamilton.
It was, yeah. I got to check out Wicked. All right, Kat. So, Catherine's, I got to get used to that.
It's all good. I really do.
I think I held up really well for the hour, though. I really was good. I wanted to make sure I maintain my professional boundaries here. But Catherine, when you think about, you know, one word to describe yourself. And I you know, I have a word in mind in my mind, but I'd love to hear your word for yourself. Mm. One word.
One word. I think, I mean, there's a few that come to mind. You're only giving me one, though.
Yeah, Catherine. I mean, what do you want, a whole paragraph?
No. I'm just trying to figure out the one
I'll give you a phrase. You can say more than one word,
I'm No. I don't need a phrase. I'm just
Kat.
trying to make it. I think it's I think it would be care and caring. Like I really
Okay.
care about the work that I do. I care about the community. So yeah, I think it's thinking of others and showing that that empathy towards others. So those are some of the words. If I get a little grace,
You
some of the
do get a
words
little grace, Catherine. You
that
do.
come to mind.
I totally see that, and I've never heard that word. No one has shared that in particular. I've heard so many other descriptive terms, but never care. And when I think about who you are, it totally fits. Like, you've always been a caring individual. Like, you exude that, and everything comes from that place of caring. And it's genuine and real, and can be felt. So I totally second it. Not that you need me to affirm your word, because it is your word, but I totally see it, and it makes perfect sense, Catherine. And again, continue to knock the ball out the park for the city of Pittsfield. You are doing such important work, and I know that it's you and Mayor Marchetti, and you have your colleague Brittany also in the office as well. So you are the fab trio, getting things done. And so thank you. I know that these are very uncertain and challenging times. And so it's really important to know that we have real, steady leadership and at the helm, on the local level. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, everyone. You've been listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I hope you have a great day.